You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
8 o'clock on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776 if you've got any thoughts. Josh McCown was a topic of conversation. He interviewed again the second time in a year that he has interviewed for the Texans head coaching job. Well, the first time we were like, dude's still playing, isn't he? He's going to be a coach? What is he going to do? Or he'll be the assistant as a backup? What are we doing here? Well, he's interviewed again for the Houston Texans head coaching job, and he's got ties over the years through FCA with Jack Easterby, and he talked about his relationship with Jack Easterby. So that is out there, people. That is something that we totally, totally forgot about. When it was a big topic of conversation, the first time he was interviewed, we were like, what the heck? Dude's still playing, and he's interviewing for the head coaching job? Okay. Well, he wasn't playing. He watched his son play high school football this past year, and now it looks like he wants to start his coaching career. And all signs point to him and Gerard Mayo as the next head coach, somebody without head coaching experience. So what your thoughts on that? If you want to get in, you're more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. We haven't mentioned Dak Prescott. And
yeah, we need to get to this. This is really sounds like a joke at first, but when you start thinking about, well, let's go through what happened with Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott made a comment after the game. So people were throwing trash, you know, on the stadium floor. We talked about it. Jane Slater had a video of it. And at first it was, you know, they're throwing trash at the Cowboys. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be throwing trash at the Cowboys. Now, even if they're disappointed, that really didn't make a whole lot of sense. But then the second thing that came out was that, no, they were actually targeting the referees. And Dak initially made a comment about the throwing stuff being unfortunate if they're throwing at the players, and then he clarified.
Right.
That's sad. I mean, you're talking about a team, you're talking about men that come out each and every day of their lives and give everything to this sport, give everything to this game of football. Nobody wants to succeed more than we want to succeed. I understand fans and the word fan for fanatic, I get that, but to know everything that we put into this day in and day out, try our hardest. Nobody comes in the game wanting or expecting to lose. And for people to react that way when you're supposed to be a supporter and be with us through thick and thin, that's tough.
I think they were aiming at the referees.
Yeah. They were at the referees.
Well, credit to them then.
So he went from saying this is just unacceptable. Fanatics, this is people who have lives, who work at their jobs, who work hard, and then, oh, yeah, cool.
Oh, it was the refs? Okay.
Oh, yeah, cool. Credit to the fans. Then Dak's agent told him to come out and say, I am sorry for this thing.
Well, I'm going to tell you this.
It was too late, though. There's a lot of violence right now that has spiked against youth officials, high school officials. You can find videos of it all the time.
Well, Dak got fined $25,000 by the league.
Seems light. I would think something like that would be about $100,000 and $150,000.
Well, yeah, and Dak came out. Listen, the refs ain't going to forget this either, by the way. You can expect Dak Prescott to take a big hit on what might be a roughing the passer, and no flag will come out and say, hey, how about that, Dak? How'd you like that?
Yeah,
how about I'm sorry. Maybe the fans should throw some more stuff at me, Dak. I can fully expect this. Earlier this year, you remember Chris Sims had the story about when he got hit, and he got hit and he looked up at the ref and said, hey, how about a call here? And he said, nah. Remember when you were berating me about a call earlier in the game? Sorry, pal. You don't think these referees have got thin skin and remember stuff? Every referee in the NFL is going to remember what Dak did there. Mm-hmm. Every NFL referee is going to remember that.
You gave Cowboys fans the green light. You greenlit that.
You approved.
We're in a very violent, reactive time right now where we see people respond in ways that are very unusual. Their aggressiveness towards other people. And we see less, We see it towards players more than any time. Players have talked about, man, fans came out of COVID, and it's worse than it's ever been.
Yep.
Well, guess what? The same fans are going to turn their attention to officials, and it's going to be they're throwing stuff at them. For you to just give the go-ahead and green light it after you just said how bad it was for fans to do that, but then you find out it's officials, and you say credit to them. You know, the other day I kind of chuckled about it, and then I realized, man, I've seen some videos that are horrific of officials being attacked by fans. Like, you cannot in the position that you're in green light people to go after officiating. You can't. And I think Dak realized it. Dak's agent definitely realized it, knew there's going to be a big fine coming his way. I thought it was a pretty soft fine, honestly. But it has some ramifications because, like you said, I mean, they're also grown men who probably think, okay, you want to give Cowboy fans the green light to come after us? Maybe we give the green light for that for that extra hit to
that defensive
it's a judgment
end.
Call.
Yep.
It's a judgment call.
Yeah.
And just I'm really just really irresponsible for, of all things, a quarterback to, you know, to make those comments. Even if you're upset about how quickly the ball was spotted, because, you know, I thought it was kind of bull crap with how the ball was spotted and the guy took a little extra time to move it forward and backward and stuff like that. But, you know, it's also on you, Dak. That was also on you for not turning and handing him the football. We're not talking about where you at least have your last shot at the end zone if you just do what you're supposed to do as a veteran quarterback who's been in that situation multiple times.
Yeah. It's listen, I feel bad for Dak because it could be open season on him, and I don't really feel bad for him. Screw Zach. You know what? But you make that comment. The referees don't forget, man. They got memories like elephants.
They're going to remember. The comments I made regarding the officials after the game on Sunday. He tweeted three times to his 1.4 million followers. I was caught up in the emotion of a disappointing loss, and my words were uncalled for and unfair. I hold the NFL officials in the highest regard and have always respected their professionalism and the difficulty of their jobs. The safety of everyone who attends a game or participates on the field of a sporting event is a very serious matter. This was a mistake on my behalf, and I'm sorry. Feels agent-y. Feels publicist-y.
Well, it feels like, it feels...
Every person at a sporting event should be treated with the dignity of the hard work that they put into their craft. That was a mistake on my behalf, and at my behest, I am hereby, and therefore, and furthermore, like, a lawyer put together or something that you might find in an IKEA instructions on how to put a shelf together.
Let me ask you a question. Did Dak not get a college education at Mississippi State? Never mind.
Well, he is a finalist for the NFL's Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Well, not anymore. He's not. Not after those comments where you can throw stuff at referees and you know what? And actually, it's okay by Dak. No, you know what that sounds like? Real remorse to me. It does sound like real remorse because Dak went, holy crap, I'm going to get killed next year. I better apologize and apologize and apologize because I screwed up bad. You do not want those referees letting guys take pot shots at him all season long. He was not at the Capitol on January 6th just because he wasn't in the playoffs. Art, that's not where Dak was. I have not seen one instance evidence of Dakota being at the Capitol on January 6th. Just because he wasn't in the playoffs doesn't mean that's where he was. Okay?
First of all, he was in the playoffs.
Last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He could have been there in January. He could have been there.
Shut up, Art.
Yeah, Art. He just, I mean, stop it. 703-780-3776. You got any thoughts on the head coaching position and the interview? You're more than welcome to get in. Rockets got Golden State tonight, bro. After beating Utah.
I mean, they can get it too if they want,
Golden
like
State
I said.
Just played last night, right?
Yeah, they're back to back.
Back to back.
Can Clay play in a back to back?
No. I mean,
you can get it too, as long as you have some players out.
This would be, how about this? Kick some Golden State ass after kicking some Utah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because, you know, more recently Golden State has been the big rival.
Yeah,
Utah hasn't been.
Golden State's been a little up and down recently, but this is the Western Conference revenge tour, right?
Yeah.
All you Western Conference guys that thought you were going to, you know, the Rockets were your little patsies to to feast on. The lamb killing days are over, bro. It's over. KPJ is back with different hair. He ain't playing that mess anymore.
Mm-mm.
Threes are just raining in right now.
Shingun's
giving you 14 minutes of hell every night. 14 minutes of hell every night. Don't let Jayshon get to hitting threes from the corner because it's going to be a bad day for you.
And Jalen is breaking backboards. Okay.
Of course, Gary Bird had a big game in Utah. That's like the Mecca for him.
Yeah, right.
That's the motherland. Utah? It just feels so good to finally be here in Utah. You know, I've waited all my life as a white shooter to get here and drop bombs from three from here. You know, shout out the ghost from BYU. Jimmer Fredette. Shout out the ghost of Jimmer Fredette. Shout out to J.J. Redick. Shout out Steve Kerr. You know, big ups to my man Jay Burson from back in Ohio State days. You know, shout out to all the great white shooters that came before me. And I made it. Mom, look at us. We made it. From David Lipscomb to the Utah Jazz to beating the Jazz in Utah in front of these pasty people. We made it, Ma. We made it. Anything is possible! Kevin Durant style.
How do you think Horny felt about going back there and beating Utah's ass?
It's probably, I think he secretly cheered for Utah.
You,
yeah. Once a Jazz, always a Jazz. Sorry. He's like, I'm not saying that I wouldn't want us to win, but I'm also not saying I would want us to win, if you know what I mean. What, Horny? What'd you say?
You think Horny, if it wasn't for Horny, the Rockets would have won by 12 or 13, would have been one going away? You think Horny was back there scheming for Utah? Is that what you think?
Trying to back channel that into an L?
That's terrible. That is terrible. Hey, robots are really, really taking over the world.
Are we going news of the weird now? Because no. I don't want to hear robot talk.
Yeah, there's robot talk on the other side, but it has to do with sports.
Tell me about that dumb robot that tried to dribble and shoot, because I don't care about that robot. They'll steal it from that robot every time.
Well, what about the half-court robot? You saw him making baskets?
I bet he can't outshoot Steph Curry. If half-court robot versus Steph Curry for the existence of all humanity, I still feel pretty good about our chances. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I feel pretty good about our chances.
No, this
one. Okay, how about this half-court robot, since you've been programmed? Now go up in the stands from this tunnel. Shoot from the tunnel like Steph Curry does.
Well,
you want a robot versus Steph Curry shootout? I got human robot Steph Curry all day long.
Well, this robot has nothing to do with basketball, but we'll talk about it on the other side. HRP has everything to do with your business. HRP is ready for you to give them a call, start the process. Listen, every single company is customized for what your needs are in the, not only in HR, but in the payroll. And everyone is different. Nobody is priced the same because every business is different. All your needs are different. And if you are with a payroll company. We were a payroll company that wouldn't adjust with us when we grew, and they wouldn't grow with us. And when you're writing 75 checks every month as opposed to 25 with 25 employees, there should be a difference. There should be a big difference. If you've got 1,000 employees, that's going to be different than a company with 100 employees. That's just how it is. But HRP sees that, and HRP is going to make your business run smoothly, because they do with ours, and they're going to do it exactly how you need it, with HR and with payroll and all the benefits packages they will give you choices on. That is different. So if you're looking for that payroll company and that HR company that makes a difference for you and is customized for exactly your business, all you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, or HRP.net.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. One of them owes me $20, but I'll let you guess which one.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Mr. Roboto, so guess who's going to have a robot umping their games this year?
Japanese Baseball League?
Some people call me the Space Cowboy. It's moving to AAA. Robots behind home plate calling balls and strikes.
Like a Quest Tech?
Yes, it will be a computer.
Yeah.
A computer simulation of
the strike. So they're doing it like they talked about where there will be a human with an earpiece that says strike or ball, but it's
you want...
I want holograms.
Holograms, right.
Yeah, I think it would be so cool. Famous people. I actually believe, and if this happens, guys, find a way to get me money for this. This idea is trademarked, and it's intellectual property. However, can you imagine...
You haven't trademarked anything.
You imagine getting... Helen Mirren. It could be anybody. It's random.
Tom Cruise.
Doing a strike call. Yeah. Doing stuff from Risky Business strikes.
He could slide in and call a strike.
Yeah. strike, ball, strikeout. They just have to tape multiple strikeout calls and called strikes. And you could literally have a hologram. Now, obviously, the robot's doing all the work. And the Quest Tech or whatever's doing the work, but you could literally have a hologram, JJ Watt, I mentioned before, calling balls and strikes at an Astros game, hologram, you know, Akeem Olajuwon one day, hologram, I guarantee you Paul Wall would be a hologram at one point. He's been such an Astros fan forever. You would have, if the balls and strikes are coming from a Quest Tech anyway, then give us a hologram making the calls. That's fine.
Well, I don't know. It says here that it's going to be a robot. There might be a robot behind
home plate. Who says that?
Well, this is what the story says.
But who wrote the story?
The development comes just to the written. The story was written by.
Oh, it's TMZ.
TMZ.
Yeah, I don't know. Is it a robot?
It says, after taking a year off because of the pandemic, robots were used in low A-ball. I think it's probably just computerized, but, yeah. Quest Tech, like you said. But the problem with it is that you could throw up a baseball at a slower rate, and it would go over, it would hit in the strike zone, but it would bounce before the catcher. And that's never, ever a strike, ever a strike. So they really...
But it is a strike.
But it is a strike.
Right.
It should be a strike.
Well, you got to throw it so slow. And it's such a high 12-6 angle, too.
Well, a curveball could absolutely be.
Only there's one man who throws that pitch.
Who? McCullers? McCullers throws that pitch.
There's only one man that throws. Well, you're talking about the tight bite. I'm talking about the one that falls completely, that can cross as a strike. McCullers throws a pitch that's so tight that it looks like a strike, but it's not going to be a strike, and people swing at it. The one guy who throws it so slow that he could actually have it cross as a strike and still hit the dirt?
Greinke.
Yeah. That's the one guy I've ever seen throw the 67-mile-an-hour curve.
Yeah. If he's still alive, we don't know. If he's still around, I don't know. He's probably still alive, but I don't know. We have to check.
Did he sign with anybody?
I don't think so. No. I don't believe he signed with anyone. But
there won't even be an announcement. When he retires, it should just be like, whatever happened to Zach Greinke? Where's Zach Greinke right now? Who's he with? I don't know. I haven't heard him say anything. And Zach will be fishing somewhere. And like, Zach, did you retire?
No.
Just not playing baseball.
I don't know. I was just fishing today. I don't know.
Did you have a retirement ceremony? No. Did you? Well, Zach. No, Zach is just going to not show up anymore, and that will be his retirement. Do you think he wants a fussy thing?
No, he doesn't want all that. No.
A bunch of people
looking at him?
Hey, it's a surprise party, Zach. Surprise! Like, this is terrible. So many people.
Anyway, it'll be interesting to see how they adjust to that and how, you know, the players adjust to having the robot at the AAA level. It will be at the major league level. Will it be in the major leagues in 4 years? Will robots be calling balls and strikes? Will Quest Tech be calling balls and strikes within 4 years?
No, I think the umpires. No, and I'll tell you why. The automation process that's taking place globally, there's going to be such blowback because people are losing jobs at an extraordinary rate. If you read about this, it's really terrifying. It's happening a ton, and I think it's Japan or Hong Kong. I can't remember specifically where it was. But it's like a massive, massive problem with people no longer having jobs, and they're wondering where their next jobs are going to come from. And I think Major League Baseball, because people, it's not like umpires are beloved by anybody.
No.
But they might be looked at as part of the problem. When Major League Baseball can have umpires doing a job, humans doing a job, they may be looked at very skeptically by the general society within 3 or 4 years if they're getting rid of jobs also. Then again, the flip side of that coin is they make the calls all the time in tennis when they need to. They go to, you know, the ins and outs are called by that system, the VR system. But there's a VR system, VAR system in soccer,
yeah,
right?
Right.
That works great. We have. You see, you just can't do it. You can challenge a play in football all the time. Well, not all the time. You have limited amounts.
Yep.
You can challenge them in baseball, but you don't challenge balls and strikes. But you know, in theory, John, isn't it most important to get it right?
Yeah.
A ball and a strike right? I hear people talk about the human element is what makes baseball great. But the reality is, don't you want it to be...
Angel Hernandez is a human, and he doesn't make baseball great.
Don't you want it to be accurate?
Mm-hmm. I do.
As accurate as possible?
That's right. And you know what? You can't argue with it. Look what happened. That was a strike. It was in it. That's it. That's either a ball or it's a strike.
Now, you know, the more I think about it, Major League Baseball doesn't care about umpires. They'll be like, yeah, we're not going to renew your contract.
The Umpires Association actually went along with it and said, yes, we can definitely look at it. And maybe they want that off their plate. They're still going to get
paid.
Well,
they get
first. They're still lifers.
There's still multiple positions they have to umpire.
Right. And there still will be an umpire behind home, standing by home plate to call outs at the plate.
Yeah, you booing me, he'll just turn around. When people boo a call, he'll just be like,
hey.
It's a robot. What? Boo the robot.
Well, you can't boo anymore because it's either a strike or it's not a strike.
When people start booing, this is what he'll do. He'll go, strike, and the people will boo, he'll go.
Well, it works.
Double birds, right to everyone. Just
it works perfectly in tennis. I don't know why they even have an umpire in tennis because it's so fast. Their quest tech is so fast, it can determine all balls in and out.
Have players argue with them?
Yeah,
I know it's instantaneous.
Yeah, it's instantaneous. It's awesome.
So I work with some player tracking and tracking stuff. I've been involved. I've been aware of it and dug into it back in 2012. Stats before the NBA was using it. Stats Ice. It's an Israeli missile system thing that it was used. They brought it into football, and so the NFL. So Stats
Wait
put
a minute,
it in.
There are Israeli missiles. Now, Israeli football stadiums?
Israeli missile system technology that does tracking, that can track, you know, anti-missile technology. Oh. And so what they did was they had cameras all over, it was a Green Bay game. They put it up at Lambeau Field, and I got to see the footage, and it tracks how fast people are running. It's the first tracking I'd ever seen. I was blown away, 2012. And second, then they brought that technology to basketball. Basketball bought it. Football now has Zebra technology, which is RFID. That's the chip and the pads. But there's other groups like Signality out in Sweden, who I do some work with. And Signality right now is doing Australian rules football and doing Australian rules football. They're doing some stuff for Major League Baseball, and they are doing some stuff with European soccer. What they can do is they put these 4K cameras up, and they do limb tracking as well. So it's the same guy who developed the facial recognition for iPhone. It's his technology. So he can track your limbs, which in baseball is a big deal. He can track your speed. He can track everything just through cameras. You no longer have to wear any chips. This would, in essence, be the same thing that basketball has, but on a football field. So it's considered this incredible technology. But unfortunately, they don't care right now. It's not a priority to come into North American sports, because when it does, I'm going to be all up in that business getting it into high schools and colleges. And it'll be a big deal because it's way less expensive than the wearable technologies. And yet you'll be able to limb track too. So for the first time, you'll be able to see where a quarterback's arm slot is. You'll be able to see how an offensive lineman is pass setting, what kind of bend a pass rusher has as he turns the corner, because it does limb tracking.
I have a feeling this is interesting only to you. You know, what with the hips of an offensive lineman and where he's bending and
whatnot. Yeah, but I'm telling you, it's not, because if you watch any
coaches.
If you watch any of the broadcasts, it's where it's all going. Amazon will immediately buy this technology and you'll see it on all. You don't realize what's coming.
Will.
This is all going to be on your Amazon.
Well, if you don't
broadcast.
Bend low enough, will you get slimed on
Well, that's they'll probably cross pollinate the two.
Right.
Yes. Yes. But what it's going to do is it's going to change scouting forever, because instead of just saying, "Nice, tighten the hips," you will actually have measurements to show hip tightness, knee tightness, ankle tightness. You'll have somebody like the Chris Collinsworth out there, but whoever else it's going to be talking about. Right here, you can see how he can't get low enough. You will look at the bend, and when you have gamblers who can look at data that shows you what kind of flexion a pass rusher has versus an offensive tackle, that's one of those precursors. When we watch in tape, we know. In tape, we just say, oh, man, he's going to have a hard time against this guy, because this guy's a bender. He can really bend the edge and dip low like Von Miller can. He's got flexible ankles. Now you're going to have technology that shows it. They'll start bringing it to the broadcast, and they're going to start bringing it to scouting, and it's going to change scouting, because the eyeball stuff ain't going to be eyeball stuff anymore. It's going to be actual measurements.
All right, when we come back.
Robots are coming in baseball.
Robots are coming everywhere. Robots are all over and will destroy the world. And luckily, I'll be dead by then.
Yeah.
But here's the deal, is when we come back, we haven't talked about this, is Big 12 expansion and what it means and how they're going to expand. We'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, I want to talk about champion, being a champion. And being a champion means that you're with Champion Energy here in the city of Houston, because they're the best. Alex Bregman tells you this every single time, and Alex Bregman can't lie because he's a Houston Astro. So he's not going to lie about something like Champion Energy and saving money every single month. Oh, do you hate Alex Bregman? Okay, you hate the Astros. You hate your city. You hate everything. Okay, then don't go with Champion Energy. But if you love your city, if you love your Astros, if you love Alex Bregman, then you should go with Champion Energy. That's right. All you got to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving today and love your city. If you don't love your city, that's fine. I love my city. That's why I'm with Champion. You should be too. champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In 2023, this is the question. Will the Big 12 be 14 teams or 12 teams in 2023?
14.
I don't know. I don't know that Texas and Oklahoma are going to come here. And you think Texas is going to want to play? Wants any part of
in
Houston?
2023.
Yeah. Of Houston basketball and football? I don't know. I don't know they want that.
Oh, yeah.
I think they're going to want to get away.
Oh, you're talking about Houston coming in before the other.
Houston will be in 23.
That's right. So Houston is coming in early. No, you're right, because they'll just pay to get them out of there, because that's not, you don't want crossover, just to make it clean. I don't think you want the crossover stuff, but that's a lot of money that has to get figured out on the TV deals. And there's a lot of money. I mean, basically, not only is Texas and Oklahoma, are they going to have to figure out how they're going to weasel a bunch of money for their players now through NIL, funnel it through NIL.
They've already figured it out.
Chapters. Okay. Now they got to figure out how to weasel the money with the TV deals that have already been set up. Because they're set up specifically because Texas and Oklahoma are major, major players in every TV deal.
I got to talk to an Oklahoma coach yesterday, and I asked him how difficult it was and everything else, and he was like, hey, you do not understand how impressive Brent Venables is. And he had it in his contract. He's bringing in people. He's making it. He said, we have 15 additional people on our staff just working in the football offices now. We have a guy who
that's what college football looks like now at the highest level.
A guy who was at Alabama and at Clemson and did all of their facilities, was the fundraiser and built their facilities. And he said he built them. he helped build them into a number one program. Said, you want to be six? You want to be eight? That's fine. Nuh-uh. You want to be one? We got to do this. And they're doing it at Oklahoma. They are they've taken the bull by the horns, and they are really, really all in on making Oklahoma a great SEC team.
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you that thought, well, they're going to disappear because Lincoln Riley is gone. Lincoln Riley is going to do really well at USC.
Really well.
Because the competition out there, he's going to win.
He's good at, he knows
he's
what
good
he's doing.
What he's doing. But he might not have been the guy to lead Oklahoma into the SEC era.
I don't think he wanted to. But
no.
Venables may or may not, but I know this. Venables knows what it looks like.
Yep.
You know, he knows what it looks like. And what it looks like is hiring a crap ton of people who are analysts and this, that, and the other, strength and performance. Like, he's been at one of the programs. I had to write up a guy named Darian Kendrick, cornerback for Georgia. He got kicked out of Clemson. He was the starting corner they had. And I'm looking it up yesterday, and I'm like, he's a four-year starter, three at Clemson, one at Georgia. And all 4 years, this guy was in the playoffs. I'm like, wait a minute. Clemson was in the playoffs like six straight years.
Yeah.
You know, you forget because they didn't make it this year.
It's the Alabama Clemson Invitational.
That's the original. And then Ohio State and Oklahoma's around all the time, too.
And
Georgia has, you know, come into the party as well. Those teams all know what it looks like. They know what it's supposed to, you know, how you get to do it. And yeah, I think Venables, I think you can find offensive guys. I think finding a defensive guy who knows how to slow down the offenses, that is the gold.
Yeah.
If Venables can slow down the offenses, that's the gold more than anything.
And
finding offensive guys, that's not that hard.
Well, and they found Jeff Levy. And Jeff Levy played at Oklahoma. And Jeff Levy actually ran. Jeff Levy.
Wait, where did Levy come from?
Levy came from Ole Miss.
Yeah,
last
that's right.
Year was not Lane Kiffin's offense. It was Art Briles' offense. Because
so Levy is the one who was tight with Matt Corral, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, they're very tight. It is his offense. It was Levy's offense.
Levy's offense. He married Art Briles' daughter. And he was on Art Briles and learned everything about
the offense. You say what you want about Art Briles, but Art Briles' new offense.
Oh, my gosh. He and his son. They're great.
And Kendall,
Yeah. They're great. So Levy is going to be, and they're going to run that, and we'll see. You know, we'll find out what kind of quarterback they get after Caleb Williams left, and you know, the prediction of gloom and doom for Oklahoma, you Texas fans, maybe a little bit premature. They feel really good about themselves and the direction of the program right now. But here's the deal: is once you get to 12 teams or 14 teams, you have to have two divisions in your conference. I figure it's probably going to be a north-south thing because, first of all, Texas, if Texas and OU are still there, they have to be in different divisions so that when they leave, they will, you know, it'll be six teams in each division. I don't think you want, I think you probably want to do a north-south thing with Texas Tech, TCU, Texas, Baylor, Houston, and Central Florida.
If they stick it out.
Right.
Because you're throwing Texas in there.
Right. Well, Texas would, if they stick it out. If they don't, then you actually need one more. And that would probably be, I don't know who
Rice.
Well, Rice isn't included in this thing. So
let's add him. Rice in.
That's going
to
be.
Rice gets to come
actually,
to.
They're not going to be actually part of it. Pardon me?
Did you say Oklahoma State?
No, Oklahoma State would probably be part of the North. Oklahoma
but if
State,
you lose Oklahoma,
Oklahoma
and Texas.
Oklahoma State, Oklahoma.
Baylor, TCU, Houston.
Iowa State, Kansas, Cincinnati, BYU.
That's all the North?
That's all the North, yeah. But you because Oklahoma and Texas have to be in different divisions so that when they both leave, that you'll still have 16
right.
divisions. So it'll probably be a north and south thing as opposed to an east-west thing, more than likely, so that you can split Texas and Oklahoma up. But it'll be interesting to see. Listen, you know, I'm obviously up close with Dana, and we talk a lot, and he's getting players now that are going to be more apt. I think Kelvin Sampson is already ready. Kelvin Sampson has got his recruiting class. There's a kid in his class that is a top 10 kid. Arsenault, I believe his name is, and Kelvin Sampson with his program and what he's doing, he probably walks into the Big 12 and he's a top three or four team. And maybe he might be favored as one of the top teams. Although
because of how you can schedule, I think it matters less in basketball. Like you, he's a proven commodity. He can step into the Big 12, it ain't going to matter.
He was in the Final Four.
That's what I'm saying. He step into the Big 12, it ain't going to matter. Remember, he's got the background stuff at Oklahoma.
No, it's different.
Which years ago, and that was Big 8. No, he was Big 12.
Yeah, well, we talked to Seth Greenberg the other day, and he said, wait a minute. You know, you're playing an American conference. It ain't a battle every – in the Big 12, it's a battle every single night. After you – if you lose on Saturday, then you got a big Monday game against another really tough top 15 team in the country, which they have plenty of with Baylor. Baylor's program, Kansas's program, U of H will fit right in as a top three. But, man, you could get above those two now. Ain't going to be easy.
Right.
Ain't going to be easy. So it'll be – they'll walk in. U of H probably walks into a top five team in the Big 12. They've got to get a bigger player, I think, on defense. They've got to, that defensive line thing is going to be awfully difficult to maintain. Although they think they've got a defensive lineman that is probably going to be a first round pick next year. They're really really high.
Well, I mean, That'd be three straight. I think I saw him. Or did he play this year? Yeah. Is in the portal, in 90 something. So I watched Logan Hall, obviously Peyton Turner. That'd be three straight guys to be, top 2 day picks. Well, Peyton Turner went in the first. We'll see where Logan Hall. Maybe Logan.
No, that's
maybe
that's,
he takes off, and that's not the guy you're talking about.
He's in this draft.
Yeah, Logan Hall.
Yeah, Logan Hall.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the second round, but you never know. I thought Peyton Turner was. Peyton Turner went in the first.
Yeah,
I thought Peyton Turner was better than Logan Hall.
No, they think Logan Hall is going to be a. He's going to be a
I can
a
tell you,
owner.
he doesn't escape day two. So he's going to be a day two, either second or third round pick. My guess is with his traits and everything, he goes no worse than top 50. That's a hell of a deal for Houston to put that together back to back and in 2 years removed from Ed Oliver.
Yeah.
Which I know Dana wasn't here at that time, but it's still the same program. I mean, it's still University of Houston. So there's some cachet in that. By the way, did you see Gary Patterson join the Texas staff?
Oh, yeah.
Gary Patterson's with the Longhorns now.
Yeah.
I didn't see what capacity, though.
He's an analyst. He's a
special
analyst.
Assistant for Steve Sarkisian.
That's what Bama has so much of. All these other Butch Jones, right? They had all these former head coaches became analysts for, I think Al Groh may have done that, old defense coordinator from the NFL. I know his son was on that Bama staff. I think Al may have been doing that for Bam at one point. But, that's something that Steve Sarkisian's probably going to bring over from his Alabama time is, hey, let's get just good football people. We got enough money that we can pay whoever we want, whenever we want, how much we want.
Yeah.
Let's just get good football people in our building.
713-780-3776.
And we come back, I want to do something very specific. Somebody has already asked, when are the picks? I need my picks. Let's go through side and total every playoff game when we come back.
Got it. On the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. In the meantime, you're talking Maestro.
Oh, man, Maestro Dobell. We had Tyler and I and Brandon were having some of the Añejo tequila just the other day, as a matter of fact. And when you experience Maestro Dobell, you're going to experience something that is completely different than many of the tequilas you've had, especially if you have not stepped into the world of really quality, high quality tequila. And Maestro Dobell is making that for you. A bunch of different varietals. They've got the silver, the reposado, the añejo, the diamante, which is a cristalino. They take three different blends and they charcoal filter it. So it looks and tastes and everything about it is different and unique and fantastic. And the humido, which is the smoked silver, which I think is awesome for margaritas. I like a little smokier margarita personally. So Maestro Dobell's mastery of the art of tequila making, which goes back 11 generations, they give you a variety of complex aromas, flavors, and finishes. So whether it's a cocktail, whether it's a sipping tequila, you are covered with one brand, and that's Maestro Dobell. Tons of varietals to choose from. Make sure you stop in wherever liquor is sold and ask for Maestro Dobell.
Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.
the godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you, and we are talking about these NFL games this weekend. If you've got some thoughts, you're more than welcome to get in here at 713-780-3776, 713-780-377. SMU Sonny. Sonny, SMU Sonny, you're out of the Big 12 expansion. You ain't in. You're out, okay? Beat it. SMU, you're still in the American. That's where you belong. Stay there, SMU, Sonny. Okay.
We belong in the Big 12, and everybody knows it. I was waiting for y'all to say SMU as the team to be in the South with all of our old Southwest Conference foes. We rolled UCF this year, went toe to toe with the Cougs, and we've taken them down the past two times. Our hoops are looking
Cougs
good.
Beat you your ass. What you talking about? Cougs beat your ass, okay? Just destroyed you.
You had no chance, SMU, Sonny,
with your little program.
Dude, John,
that's your little American program, okay?
Talk to Dana for us. Put a good word in with Dana. We got to keep that
Dana
game.
Dana don't want you around.
Oh, and we got the stadium expansion getting announced today.
Yeah.
Dana,
SMU, you're in.
Want to talk to no group of five. I mean, yeah, they don't want that, okay?
Oh, now you're hoity-toity?
Dana don't want none
hey,
of that.
Hey, guys, group of five demands its respect. And no, you're power five now.
Yeah.
The group of five.
Group
Nobody
of five.
Trying to hear the group of five. Yeah. Shut the fuck up, group of five. No one's listening to you.
No one
Wait
cares
a minute,
about
Houston.
Your little program.
Wait a minute, Houston.
SMU
You've been there
Sonny?
Since like the mid-90s.
Yeah. Wait, you know what? I bet you U of H votes against letting the group of five in the playoff. Okay? Ain't no need that. I don't want none of
we
that.
We don't need playoff expansion for group of five needs of
no.
You know what? Schedule better.
Yeah,
that's what Houston will say. Schedule tougher. Okay.
Yeah. So
you don't have this murderer's row like us with K State and Iowa State and Kansas and Tech,
yeah.
ECU,
now
Texas.
A murderer's row.
This is a murderer's row.
Yeah.
That's why we have to schedule. You know,
Sonny.
We have to go out and schedule Montana State.
SMU, Sonny, we're big. We're Power Five now. We ain't
you know
got
what?
Time for your
SMU, Sonny. Maybe you would be in the Power Five. You ought to kick off to Marcus Jones.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it would have been you.
Don't kick off to Marcus Jones late in the game, and maybe you'd be in a Power Five conference.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe your entire fortunes changed because you decided to kick off to Marcus Jones. You know that guy who has like 10 touchdowns in his career on special teams.
Yeah. And
stupid.
How, yeah.
Stupid.
Then you lose
Why
your coach
so
to the
stupid,
Big 12.
Sonny? Stupid.
When did you become Rosie? What's her name?
Yeah. Why are you doing this, Billy? You stupid.
How would Dell's father tell him he's stupid?
You are very dumb. You are a dumb man. You will never be in the group of. You will never be in the Power Five. I see Dell every day. He comes to my. So now he's gonna say. Hey, I'm going to need you to stop doing invitations to my dad. I guarantee
no,
that's coming.
That'll
hey,
never end. That'll
so
never
we got to get to the playoffs. But guess who I'm going to see tonight?
Who are you going to see?
Tom Segura.
That's tonight?
Yeah.
You are a jerk.
Tonight, yeah. Love it. One of my favorite comedians.
Oh, my gosh. That is awesome. He's a smart financial?
Yep. He's a smart financial.
All
the big, that's where all the big comedians come down. They
go
out to smart. It's a great spot to go watch. I saw Gaffigan there before. I've seen not Jason Aldean. What's his name? The Jason the country. He's kind of country, but Jason Isbell. Saw him out there. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Tom. And then I've got tickets for Jim Jeffries when he comes. I already
saw
jumped
Chappelle
on those. Oh yeah.
With Jon Stewart and Kim Kardashian's boyfriend. What's his name?
Kanye.
Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
No,
Pete
it's
Davidson.
Still Kanye. By the way, Kanye dropped a song last week that said he's going to kick Pete Davidson's ass. Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
That's a little aggressive.
That's not what Pete Davidson was hoping for.
Yeah.
All right, here's our playoff. Here's our look at the playoffs. We promised it, we deliver. Here we go. So in the NFL, I'm going to go through, I don't have prop bets or I'd put it out there for you. Let's start with Bengals and Titans. The Bengals right now, the number I'm seeing is 3.5. Tennessee's laying 3.5 and over under is 47.5. I actually like this game to go under. I think that Tennessee is a pretty good defensive squad. They're good up front, and I think Cincinnati's going to find the going much, much more difficult offensively. The more I look at how this game is going to be played, I hate 3.5. I wouldn't play it at 3.5, but I might buy it down to 3 and play the Tennessee Titans minus 3. But I do like the under in that one. How do you like that?
I'm going to go opposite. I kind of like a lot of scoring. I think that the Bengals are maybe a little overplay. I think that the Titans are going to run the ball quite a bit. Actually, I think they're going to break a few runs, if you want to know the truth, with Foreman and Derrick. I saw where – what about a prop bet for Derrick Henry in number of yards? I kind of think that they're going to protect him, but I've also seen other people go, oh, no, they're going to ride that horse. They are going to ride him. He's back. Might as well keep feeding him.
See if I can find it right now.
You know what? He's fresh, like we've talked about before. I don't know that he's in game shape, but we shall see. I kind of like them to break a couple of big plays and using play action to Tannehill. I like the Titans in this one. I really like the Titans in this one, and I don't mind the 47.5, if you want to know the truth. I like the favorite in the over. That's a square play, but I think that the Titans are going to take care of this Bengals business. I don't think the Bengals are ready for this.
I don't think the Bengals front. I think Simmons and the front of Tennessee is just going to be too much for Joe and that squad. So I'm trying to see if I can find prop bets for I can't find any prop bets for. That's a really good question. I just don't know. And that's the problem. I don't know what they're going to do with Henry. So I like under, and you like over, and I like Tennessee. We both like Tennessee, but I don't love 3.5. I'd rather buy it down to 3 or maybe use it in a parlay on the money line.
I love Joe and I like what they're doing offensively, and because I do think that Joe is going to get some stuff done against this defense. So that's why I like the over. But I still like Tennessee.
So on the website I'm looking at, yesterday San Francisco was a 6-point dog. They're now 5.5-point dog. And that's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to come down all the way to 5. I still like San Francisco plus the 5.5 points. And on that one, I actually like over 47. I think that one has a tendency. I think that one has the potential to move up a little bit. I think San Francisco will get it going offensively with the passing game. I think Green Bay will follow suit, and I think that one's going to look more like a 31-28 game.
I am going to right now. Got to see, make sure that it's we got Green Bay weather. Last I saw, it was going to be like 12 degrees.
Does that bother you?
It doesn't bother me all that much. It depends on how. Again, it depends on how the high is 17.
Right now, it's -2. Right now.
Yeah. So tomorrow, Saturday, high of 20 and the low of 7.
Yeah.
And depending on wind chill, obviously it's going to be really, really cold.
It's actually the warmest day until next Thursday at 25.
Yeah, right.
That ain't no big deal.
I had
you
to
live there
in that for 3 years. Dude. Yeah. That was the worst.
Did you go shirtless and shorts on to show how tough you were?
Nope, never. I look like the Michelin man every day.
Like the kid from Christmas Story, Ralphie's little brother, who they dress up to go to school. Rams versus Tampa Bay Bucks. Tell you what, here on the other side, we'll get to the Sunday games. Those are the Saturday games. We come back, we got Sunday games, and then Eric Layden is going to join us at 9:15. He's our friend, the actor. He went to school he went to high school here in Houston, went out to USC to film school. He's still a monster Astros fan. Not so much Texans and less so Rockets because he's been out in LA or California so long now. You know, he became a Lakers fan. He said, dude, it's impossible during the Kobe Shaq era to not become a Lakers fan. He goes, that was impossible.
Mm-hmm.
I had to. But he did shoot the free throw to start the game at a Rockets game when he was in town 2 or 3 years ago. And he's in Ozark Season 4, which dropped today.
Dropping today.
Season 4. So we'll talk to him what it was like to shoot under COVID protocol. The summer of 2020 is when he shot in Atlanta. We'll talk to him about that and what
the
whole experience is
like. Nothing says
the
Ozarks like Atlanta, Georgia.
No, I feel like, he's a chef in Atlanta. So his stuff was in Atlanta. He didn't do stuff with Jason.
Oh, Oh, really?
No, he didn't even get
to meet Lori Linney?
No, I don't know if he knows or not, but he did stuff with Ruth.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
I love that.
Ruth and also Wyatt. Also Crazy.
Oh, the Crazy Woman?
Crazy.
What's her name? She poisoned her husband?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Whatever. He shot some films. Darlene.
Ooh, she's creepy.
Is she creepy in real life? He goes, yeah, she's actually poisoned and killed people in real life. No, Lance, we're called actors. This is our craft. We can make you believe something.
Well,
I said, yeah,
she's crazy.
I believe she's a crazy lunatic
in
real life.
She can't have acted that well. Yeah. She can't be that good an actress. Time to talk about our people, Billy and Mary over at Aqueduct Plumbing and the honesty when you're talking about a plumber, when you're talking about any business, you want to get the best deal that you can. You don't want them to gouge you. You don't want them to overcharge you. You want to hope that you're getting a fair and estimate. You're hoping that you get the work done that they promised to do. And you know what? At Aqueduct Plumbing, and oh, by the way, you're going to charge me to come over, and a lot of plumbers do. They're going to charge you $70 before they'll walk in your house, and that's not something that they do at Aqueduct Plumbing. And it, you know what? No job too small. If you've got an issue, whatever it is, your issue, if you're not getting your hot water. Oh, by the way, they install hot water heaters, tankless hot water heaters, which are excellent. And any kind of problem that you have with your plumbing, just give them a call.
Yeah, changing out fixtures, anything that you want to remodel and move, your bathroom to turn it into a shower. You want to take your toilet and move it somewhere else, complete remodel. They can do all that for you. They are the subcontractors for you. So make sure that you call the professionals over at the website, thebenchplumbing.com, thebenchplumbing.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.